Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Some point. And so, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why does the man have to be born again? Why does the man have to be recreated? Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God. The Bible, God told them, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. So when they did that, they died. And everybody following that died and is separated from God. So Jesus is saying, Nicodemus couldn't get it with his mind. He's saying, do I need to go into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Your spirit man needs to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So when you are born again, it is not your physical nature that gets born again. It is your spirit being that gets translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And so for your faith to work, last week we looked at this lesson that faith, we walk by faith and not by sight, not by our physical senses. So if you are going to walk not by our physical senses, then we are going to have to think of the invisible realm, because the spirit realm is just as real as this realm. Hallelujah. And then we looked at John chapter 4 verse 24. God says that Jesus, speaking to the woman at the well, says that God is a spirit. So many times we mention the word spirit, people get scared. But that God is a spirit. And he, when we are born again, he says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. We need to locate and understand what the heart of man is, or what the spirit of man is. So because that is primarily what Bible says, that with the heart one believes. If you say, not doubting in your heart, hallelujah, the Bible says that what you say will come to pass. Hallelujah. We don't contact God necessarily with our body. That's why he's saying that, he was telling the woman that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God is a spirit. And so we don't contact God necessarily with our physical body. We contact God with our spirit, because he's a spirit being and he's created us in his image and in his likeness. And that is how he expects us to worship him or contact him. Hallelujah. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For with the heart, one believes. With the heart, we believe God. With the heart, we believe God. And then with our mouth, we make confession unto salvation. First, we believe. Remember, when we heard the word of God before we got saved, it didn't necessarily register on our head. We got the word of God and we believed that the Lord Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. And when we believed it, we made a confession with our mouth, and then we came into the kingdom of God. And that is just the initial process to get into the kingdom of God. That is supposed to be a lifetime process of believing with our heart and then confessing with our mouth unto salvation or unto deliverance or unto whatever we are asking or believing God for. Hallelujah. Let's look at another verse. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. Romans 2, 28 to 29. For he is not a Jew who is one inwardly, who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision that is of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from man, but from God. So he's saying that here, you are the circumcision or that he's talking about here is not of the flesh, but it's not it. It says that of the heart and in the spirit. That of the heart and in the spirit. That of the heart and in the spirit. He's using the word heart and spirit interchangeable here, because with the heart is the core of our being. The heart is the center of our being. Our spirit man is the real us. He says that the circumcision is not that of the outward man, but that of the inward man. That is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. Heart and spirit. The key I want you to notice in that verse is that he uses the word heart and spirit to mean the same thing. And when he talks about the heart, or the spirit, that is the core of our beings, and that is what we believe God with. If our faith is going to work, we have to start thinking, or we have to think from a natural standpoint, that we are spirit beings created in the image and in the likeness of God. And that spirit being, or that heart, is the real man. And that is the one that we worship God with. That is the one that we contact God with. That is the one that we believe God with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The spirit is different from your soul and your body. Remember, he said that your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. God wants all those pieces whole and complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so important, for with the heart, man believes. And he says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, shall not doubt in his inward person, he shall have whatsoever he says. One time we were praying with a woman who had three miscarriages, and we prayed and we said, no more miscarriages, be fruitful and give birth. And we believe, not doubting in our heart, that what we had said will come to pass. And praise be to God, today this person has two children. Hallelujah. Because we acted not based on what the circumstances was presently or what the situation was. We acted based on the word of God that said that there shall be none barren among you. You see, faith is always based on the word of God. There shall be none barren among you, and so you are supposed to carry your children full term and give birth to babies. That is how God created you originally. So we said in and prayed, believing that what we said came to pass, or what we prayed, believed that we received with when there was no physical evidence at all. And in a couple of months, this person delivered. Hallelujah. Faith always has to do with the word of God. Faith always has to do with the invisible. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. That mountain signifies anything that stands in your way and the blessing of God, of what God, or what God has promised in his word. But notice, it says that whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. You see, that the believing is in the invisible realm first. It's the believing is in the realm of the unseen. And the next verse says the same thing. He says that when you stand praying, believe that you receive. You see, you believe that you receive it first when there is nothing to see, and then you will have the same process of faith. When whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. You see, they haven't come to pass yet. But he believes that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Faith always has to do with the invisible. You believe that you receive it first when you pray, at the moment that you pray. Believe that whatever you are praying for, you receive them first, and then you shall have. It's so simple. But that is the key to faith. That is what faith is. Believing that what you say comes to pass, or believing that when you pray, you have what you pray, is faith. He said, we looked at Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is always now. Faith always has to do with now. When you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Now, let's look at some more scriptures regarding the heart of man or the spirit of man. Because if you know what the spirit is, and if you know what the heart is, then we know that is what we use to believe. And so we act on God's word from that standpoint. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 to 23. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is talking about, it says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But listen, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. He's saying that we have come to an assembly of people, of angels. We have come to the mountain of God. We have come to the presence of Almighty God. And this assembly that we have come to, it's not like the one that Moses had in the wilderness where we had shouts and they had so many rumblings and the people were even afraid to hear the voice of God. But we have come to the assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and notice, to the spirit of just men made perfect. When our loved ones die, there is the hope of heaven. They go to heaven. Where did they go? They go to heaven. And he's calling those people, those assembly, the church, which is in heaven, the spirits of just men made perfect, or the spirit of men, of just men made mature. You see, the point I want you to see is that your body is not the real you. When you die, the real you, which is the inward man. He was saying that the circumcision is not of the outward, but the inward. The real you with which you believe God with, that will leave and go to heaven. See, heaven is a real place. There are people in heaven right now. Hell is also a real place. There are people in hell right now. No matter what the world says about it, that's what the Bible says. So here, the key I wanted you to see is that the spirits of just men made perfect, the assembly of God, the church of God. It says that when we gather together like this, we are not alone. We have come to the very presence of God. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. And these people are cheering us on to run the race set before us. They've run their race of faith, and they are cheering us on to run our faith. Hallelujah. To run the race patiently with the race set before us. The key here is that these people have lived and run their race, and now they have been made perfect or mature, because the spirit man is the real person, the real man, And that is what we use to believe God.
Hallelujah. Let's look at some more scriptures along those lines. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, emphasizing the fact that the real man is not our physical body. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So notice, outward man, inward man. The outward man is perishing, the Bible says so. But the inward man, or the real man, no, is not perishing. That is the one that you don't see. That is the personality on the inside. He says that inward man is being renewed day by day. Glory to God. That inward man is being renewed day by day if you are in Christ. That inward man is the real you. That inward man is the real personality. When that inward man leaves this body will go to the grave. But that inward man, glory to God, is being renewed day by day. The inward man is renewed. He says that therefore do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
There is definitely a difference between the inward man and the outward man.
There's a difference. The inward man is the spirit man, is the real person. And the outward man is this physical body. But you don't believe God with this physical body. You believe God with the inward man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And then 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, also emphasizing the fact that the real you is not your physical body.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. This is Paul. He says that, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Notice that he says, I discipline my body. He didn't say, I discipline myself, because he's not calling the body him. It says, I, which is the real man on the inside, disciplines my body. So as Christians, as believers, our inner man is supposed to discipline, or as the King James says, keep the body under. The body, the point I want you to see here is that the body is not the real you. He didn't say that I discipline myself. No. There's a difference between I, which is the real man, disciplining the body. Lest after, when I preach to others, I myself should become qualified.
I want us to become so much not conscious of this natural realm, but to be conscious of the realm of God, to be conscious of the invisible, to be conscious of the inner man.
I keep my body under, or I discipline my body.
You see, when you became born again, like I said, your inner man, the real you, is the one that became born again. Your body is the same. Your body didn't become born again.
When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, that's why he couldn't understand it. He was only thinking from the physical standpoint.
The real you that became born again, that God changed, was your inner man. And that inner man now is supposed to rule or discipline the outer man,
the body, and bring it into subjection so it doesn't do anything that it wants to do. And that is something, notice that is something you have to do. See this great apostle, all that he did. He said that after I had preached, I had to make sure that I discipline my body. Don't let my body get out of control. Don't let my body, but keep it under the subjection of the real person, which is me.
The real me is the inward man, has to keep the outward man under subjection or in control.
And that is something
we have to do, not God doing it for us. We have to take responsibility to keep the body under, to keep the body under.
But the key point I want you to see here is the real you, he's not calling his body him. He's not calling his body him. He says, I, who is I?
I is the real man or the inward man, like we saw in the other verse.
Hallelujah. Bring it into subjection. Bring your body into subjection. He says something similar also in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the message of God, that you present your bodies. You see, again, he's saying you present your bodies. Who is going to present your body? You, the real man on the inside is going to present the body. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
This is interesting.
Remember, all these epistles were written to churches who were people, believers who were born again and spirit-filled. So here were believers with the Apostle Paul writing to them and telling them to do something with their body and to do something with their mind. You see that? You can be born again in your spirit, but God expects you to do something with your body and something with your mind. Here he says that the first thing that you have to do with your body is present it as a living sacrifice unto God. Because your body is the home of your five senses. That is what you see with, you touch, you smell, and all that. But if you are going to walk by faith, then you are not going to walk by the physical senses. So he's saying that put your physical senses or your body, which is the laboratory of your physical senses, on the altar. Don't let it get out of control. And when you believe God as well, walk by faith, walk by the invisible, and not by your five senses. Hallelujah. Because sometimes you can be born again. People are born again, but because they haven't done this process of presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice and renewing their mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, notice that it's something that you have to do. You have to present that body. You have to renew your mind. How is the mind going to be renewed? The mind is going to be renewed by feeding your heart with the word of God and by thinking on God's word or thinking in line with God's word. That is how the mind gets renewed.
You see, again, the mind is part of your soul and
your soul.
Remember, he said, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. He wants all these things intact.
And your mind is part of your soul. But he wants you to present that mind, to renew it with the word of God. Let your mind think in line with God's word.
Don't let your body dominate you to do wrong, but put your body as a living sacrifice to God.
Again, it's something that you have to do. It's something that we have to do.
And that is why sometimes you find people, they have been born again for a long time, but it hasn't touched their body. Their experience in their inner man has not touched their body or their mind. Their body still does the same thing that it used to do before. And also their mind, they don't think in line according to God's word.
But as Christians, the process here is for you to walk by faith, for you to believe God with your heart and not think contrary to God's word. You have to be conscious that the real man is
on the inside. And this man,
he says, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
I want you to know, see clearly that there's a distinction between the real you,
which has to do that, which is your spirit man, as he calls it.
You present yourself to God, a living sacrifice. Don't let your senses, don't let your body dominate you. If you are going to walk by faith, you are going to walk by the invisible realm. And so you're not going to let this physical body dominate you.
Sometimes,
and always, when you believe God, when you walk by faith and not by sight, when God's word says something, you have to believe it independent of what your five senses tells you. So, like for instance, our son, when he was born, one of them, his legs was not straight. So we prayed, believe that we received that he was whole. Not looking according to what our physical senses told us. Because the Bible said that in the beginning, it was not so. In the beginning, every person that comes into the world has to have their legs in order. So when we prayed, we even forgot about it. We're just, as far as we were concerned, it was done regardless of what our five senses told us.
And then one day we were there and then we looked at him and said, look,
his legs are straight.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what he's saying here. Don't let your five senses dominate you when you are walking by faith. Faith has to do with the invisible. You believe that you receive when you pray first. And then you will have. God is still the same. Jesus Christ is still the same. He's still the same. Hallelujah.
We have to be conscious of the real man,
the real person that is on the inside, and bring our bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, holy, acceptable to God. That is our reasonable service. Compared to what Jesus Christ did, that is reasonable.
We don't have to go to the cross and be crucified. All he's saying is that the laboratory or the home of your five senses, present it as a living sacrifice to God, and then begin to walk by the invisible realm or walk by faith.
Hallelujah.
Let's go back to that point. The spirit man is the real you.
So Paul said, I keep my body under. Here he's saying that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now let's look at this story. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 26. Another story illustrating the fact that the real you is not your physical body. Luke 16, chapter 19, verse 26. Very interesting story. There are so many things we can glean here. Now there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Notice, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The beggar is dead. His body will go to the grave, but the real person was carried by angels. Notice that. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment, in hate, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember, you see, the person
could still remember. You see, our soul, which has our memory and all that, our emotions and our will, he could still remember. That was still intact. The body is in the grave, but he was carried.
Notice that the body is not him. He was carried. And then in Hades, he could still remember Abraham. And Abraham says, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he's comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. Now can those from there pass to us? Then he said, this is the real person speaking. His body is in the grave, but he's still alive. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.
The man could still remember. The real person could still remember, even though the body was in the grave. That's the point I want you to see. The real person is not your physical body. That's not what you believe God with. You don't believe God with your physical body. You believe God with your heart. And the real person is
the one on the inside. The one on the inside.
The man still, only his body was separated. His soul was still intact because he could still remember.
Says, and then he was so concerned about his brothers out there. And he said, look, they have all the prophets. You should listen to them. These people are declaring God's word all the time.
But the point is, the man, real person, angels carried him away. Him is not the body. Angels carried him away.
And then he could still remember.
Sometimes you hear people say that man is an animal. No, man is not an animal. Man is created in the image and in the likeness of God. If man is an animal, then it would just be right to just kill an animal, kill a human being like you kill cows or any other animals that we eat. No, man is not an animal. Man is created in the image and the likeness of God, called to have dominion as an under ruler under God, depending on God to fix this earth and to be a blessing to humanity. Hallelujah. And so when man dies, if he's born again, he goes to heaven. If he's not, he's going to hell. That is why we are doing our very best. So I wish I could stand on the whole race. I'll do it as long as I live. Tell them that Jesus Christ paid the price for you. The Bible said that hell was made for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for you. Don't reject the sacrifice of Christ. He's paid it all. Come and be reconciled back to God.
When I go out and talk to people out there, I'm telling them, come back to God. Be reconciled to God.
Hell was not made for you.
This is the day of grace. This is the day of salvation. Accept the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Become part of the family of God. Have help in your life.
Don't be without help. Don't be without a companion.
Don't be there under the curse. Don't be there under all the evil and the bad.
Come into the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my peace I give to you,
not as the peace of the world,
but the peace of God. Come and have peace with God.
Come and be reconciled back to God. Come and be
in fellowship with God. You don't want to be in this situation where you are saying, go and tell my brothers. You don't want to be that person. Come and be reconciled back to God. Said they have all the prophets. You should listen to them. So we do our very best. Take this gospel to the nations of the world. Tell them that, no, God is not mad at you. You have been reconciled unto God. Come back to God. Hallelujah.
But the key here is that angels carried him away.
Carried him away. Angels carried both of them away. He was buried. And after they still died, they still could recognize each other.
If we go to heaven and I know you, when I see you, I'll recognize you. I'll recognize you. And if I don't know anybody else in heaven, I will have to introduce myself. But the point is, when we go to heaven or when we die, the real person leaves the body, but will still remember things in this life.
Hallelujah. And that real person is the one that we use to believe God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5,
verse 1, talks about the same thing again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. If you are going to believe God with our heart, we have to know what our heart is. For we know, we think. I like that. We know means we are sure. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then if you read verse 6 to 8, it says that so we are always confident. I like these terms. We know. We are confident. We know. We are not unsure about this. We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, who is at home? He's calling your body your house that you live in. Your body is the house that you live in. We are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I say that if we know, we are confident. If this house is dissolved, this tent. So he's calling your body your house or your tent. Hallelujah. Is dissolved. We have a building of God. And while we, listen, while we are at home in the body, he doesn't call the body the real you. That's the point. While we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Then he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For us to be successful in this Christian walk, it's going to have to be that way and that way only. We walk by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. While we are home in this body, we are going to walk by faith. We are going to walk by the invisible. We are going to walk and believe God. Believe the word of God, what he has said. We are confident and are, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body. We'll be absent from the body. The key here is your body is just the house that you live in. Your whole walk is supposed to be dominated by the real man or the inward man, which is invisible, that's not the one that everybody sees. All the qualities of the divine nature that we share is in our heart. God's nature that we partake of, love, faith, meekness, all those fruits, we call them the fruit of the Spirit. Really, they are the fruit of the recreated human spirit. We bear those fruit from our inner man. That is what gives us personality. But while we are home, who is at home? The real you is at home. This body is just a tent. At some point, we'll shed it and then we'll be out of it. So, but while we are home in this body, we walk by faith and not by sight. The key here is the real you. If you live here with anything, the real you is not your body. Sometimes you become so concerned with the physical. No, there are spiritual realities. The spiritual realm is just as real as the physical realm. Remember the story of Elijah and Gehazi. Elijah was attacked by an army of several thousands. And Gehazi asked Elijah, what are we going to do by this? What are we going to do with this one? If we are totally outnumbered, then Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Those angels were there. Where angels are in the realm of the spirit. They are invisible to us, but that doesn't make them not any less real. They were there, but he couldn't see. But he said, open his eyes that he may see. Elijah could see into the other realm. And the real you is just as real. God is just as real. As the angels that he talks about in the Bible, they are just as real. Jesus Christ is real. You are also real. But the real you is not your physical body. To walk by faith, you have to switch and not walk by this physical realm only, but consider God. Consider his word. Consider Jesus.
consider the Holy Spirit,
consider the angels, consider the blood of Jesus, all these things that God has done for us, and not walk just by the natural. Hallelujah. Don't just walk by the natural. Walk by the spiritual.
God said that by his stripes you were healed. He said, by his stripes, thank you, Lord, I'm healed.
The Bible said, my God shall supply all my need. Thank you, Lord. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. And then let the physical dominate you. For with the heart, man believes. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
First, you believe it in your heart first, and then you confess it with your mouth, and then you arrive at your destination.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So important. So important. While we are at home in this body,
we are at home in this body. We walk
by faith and not by sight. We walk by the invisible.
We wake up every morning and we are conscious of the invisible.
We are conscious of God and his presence. Jesus says, for lo, I am with you always.
You get up and say, lo, thank you, Lord. You are with me today. I go into today as a victor. I go into today as a conqueror.
I will not be defeated. I'll be successful in whatever I have to do today.
When you are at the office or wherever you are, driving in your car, you can be conscious of the invisible realm and say that, God, thank you, you are with me in this car. You are with me always.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The key is the real you is not what you see. No, no. The real you that you believe God with. That's why sometimes, like I said, faith is of the heart and of the head.
Sometimes your head can be telling you that what you have prayed for, you don't have it. But all the whole time, you know in your heart that you have received what you pray for.
And then in the process of time, it comes to pass. Hallelujah. One more scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 24. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, see, I is not the flesh. I is the real one on the inside. So you see that for me to live is Christ. If he's living, he can be a blessing to the church, teach them, be with them and all that. And to die is gain. If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful from my labor. Will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you.
Who is going to depart? He's going to depart. The real person is the one going to depart.
Hallelujah.
He's saying that, look. He's saying that I have a decision to make here. To stay here in the flesh, that's his house, or to go. Hallelujah. 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 What a life. To stay here or to go is saying that I have to make a decision here. Sometimes, so many times,
we think about death in terms of this
verse. It says that, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after the death, judgment.
But that verse sometimes is interpreted to say
there's a time to die. No, this apostle is saying that I have a decision to make.
I have a decision or a choice whether to stay or to go. If I live in the flesh, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire. He wants to be with Christ, which is what?
Far better.
Even if he had said it was better, it would have been good. But he said it's far better. Far better, far better. But then he said, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain. He, the real person, will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith.
He made a decision at that point that he was going to stay. I'm not going to die now. I still have certain things I need to do in the body of Christ. I haven't finished my race. There are things I still have to do. Think about it. Decision to die, or to leave, or to stay. He said, I made a choice to stay. Hallelujah. That is faith. He decides that I'm not going to die before my time. I'm not going to die before I finish all that God has called me to do. May that be your story as well. May you not leave till you have finished all you have done, all that God has called you to do. And then when you are done, you do like the people of old, like Jacob. He said, they just lie down, fold, and then they take off, give up the ghost. They decide to go when it's time to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May your life be a walk of faith. May your life be a walk that is pleasing to God. May your life be a life that fulfills that all that God has called you to do. For we walk while we are home here. He's saying the same thing here. While I'm here, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to fulfill all that God has called us to be. The inward man is the real you. And with the heart, with the inward man, you believe God. You believe what God has said. You believe the promises of God. You trust God and you walk by faith. You walk step by step by faith till you are done. And when you are done, you're not going to go, you're going to go the right way. You're going to go and say hi to everybody and say, I've run the race, finished my course. Now I'm ready to go. But while you were at home in the body, our walk should be by the invisible. Our walk should be by faith and not by sight. For with the heart, man believes. With the spirit, man believes. See, anybody can believe what they see with their senses, but it takes faith to believe what you don't see. But when you believe what you don't see, that's what causes what you see to happen. See, in the beginning, the Bible says that God said, and then it came to pass. God believed that what he said will come to pass, and it came to pass. And Jesus said, have the faith of God, or have the same kind of faith. Believe with your heart, first with your mouth, and then you keep going. We'll continue in our studies next week. We'll look at hindrances to faith, what causes our faith not to work. But today, the key I wanted you to see is, with the heart, man believes, and that heart is the real you, or that spirit being is the real you. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we have prayed. Father, we thank you for this morning. There is none like unto you, O God. Thank you for your holy written word, showing us who the inward man is, the real us, and showing us to walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by the invisible realm of God. Walk with you in the invisible realm of God. Then let the invisible become more real to us than the physical realm that we walk in. Realize every day that we walk with you and experience all that you have provided for us. For you are a good father. Begin to talk to God this morning. This morning, whatever is in your heart, the presence of God is here right now to meet you and to grant whatever is your desire. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. Talk to God this morning. Talk to God this morning. Talk to him in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I have heard your word. Lord, I've heard your word. Oh, Lord, I've heard your word. Let this word not just be. Let me not be a hearer only, but a doer of the word of God. Talk to him in the name of Jesus. Talk to him this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray and talk to him. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your holy word. While we are home in the body, we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bring our bodies as a living sacrifice unto you. We keep our bodies under. We will not allow our bodies to dominate us and walk by sight or do things that are not pleasing to you. But instead, we will allow our inner man to dominate us and for us to walk in the fullness of all that you have provided. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we renew our minds with the word of God that we may prove. We may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We take responsibility this morning to do that and to walk in that in the mighty name of Jesus. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. May we be intact in our spirit. May we be whole in our soul. May we be whole in our body. No sickness in our body, no disturbance in our spirit, but we have the peace of God. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding, and we walk in the fullness of it. May we not be in turmoil internally, but may we walk in the fullness of all. Behold, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, yes, Lord, whole spirit, I declare wholeness, spirit, soul, and body for everyone here and everyone listening as well. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And also, if you are listening, you say, I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, like Nicodemus, he was thinking naturally. You say, I want to be born again. All this benefit, walking by faith, belongs to the born again believer. You say, I want to be born again so I can walk by faith and not by sight. Have help and have a God. If you are listening right now, just pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that I've heard your word. I believe with my heart that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. And with my mouth, I confess him as Lord. I change lordship from the lordship of Satan to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I receive him as my Lord and Savior. And thank you that I'm saved. Father, we give you praise and glory. Take all the glory and take all the honor. May this week be a week full of miracles and many testimonies for us. May we be protected from harm. And may we walk in your peace. Your shalom. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We trust this podcast was a blessing.
Amen.
Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.